Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Very welcome back. It is now time for The Watchlist, our weekly look at the best film and TV releases for the week ahead. And we are joined in studio by writer Henrietta McCurvey and Andy McCarroll, host of the Extravision podcast. Happy St. Patrick's Day weekend to you both.
And to you.
I'm going to start with you, Henrietta, because everyone loves a good old solid crime show. So High Potential on Disney Plus.
Oh, I am loving High Potential. It's a really enjoyable old school show. I would say one for fans of Poker Face, but also people who remember things like Heart to Heart and Magnum. That's the sort of territory we're in. Yeah. So Kathleen Olsen, who was fantastic in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and Hacks, she plays a police department office cleaner with an IQ of 160, whose crime-solving skills prove invaluable to the force. Now, this cleaner has more furry coats and fancy boots than I reckon the average police cleaner could afford. But anyway, the whole premise is that she's cleaning the office, she knocks a file to the ground while putting it back together, solves the crime, and then becomes involved with the police as a consultant. It's really good fun.
Fantastic. It sounds good fun. Something which should be really, really good if you've spent, Andy, $320 million. You'd be a bit disappointed if you were getting dreadful reviews. The Electric State?
Yeah, I'm very jealous of your experience there, because that is not the one I had with The Electric State. It is absolutely an Irish weekend. Was that garbage? You can kind of say, like, there's actors in it who are literally phoning it in. There's people in this, I'd say, like, we have Stanley Tucci, we have Anthony Mackie, Giancarlo Esposito.
Stanley Tucci, who's everywhere at the moment.
Yeah, he's definitely building up the pension fund here. And he's one, I'd say, if you were to say to him in 2 weeks, what was your role in The Electric State, he wouldn't have a breeze.
He might not want to know.
No, definitely not. He just, and how much to do what? Yeah, no, that's perfectly fine. I think the thing with this as well, it's with Millie Bobby Brown and Chris Pratt, they were fantastic in Stranger Things and in Guardians of the Galaxy. And I think it's the same thing Aaron Paul had in Breaking Bad, where he was fantastic in this and we convinced ourselves, oh, he's the next big thing. And then he played Jesse in the next thing, and Jesse, oh, you can do one thing really well.
And that's sometimes it. You put together a big cast and it just doesn't gel.
No, there's ones where they are literally phoning it in. Like Colman Domingo shows up for 30 seconds where he's half a face on a phone. I'm sure he was like, yep, no, Grant's still drinking
Jason Alexander, Woody Harrelson, Brian Cox. Anyway, maybe not that one for the better quality viewing. Henrietta, something more for those who are in the market for a new crime drama, Get Millie Black, Channel 4.
Yeah, again, another excellent show. I've been much luckier than you this week, I think. This is by Marlon James, the writer who adapted his own short story set in Jamaica into this crime drama. It's 5 episodes. It's very dark. It's clever. It's unsettling. So Millie Jean Black, the adult character, is played by Tamara Lawrence, and she code switches so seamlessly between British and Jamaican accents. She was growing up in Jamaica when her abusive mother sends her to live with relatives in England, where she eventually becomes a Scotland Yard detective. But when her mother dies, she discovers something which compels her to return to Jamaica and join Kingston's police force. There's a line where she says there was only so much shitty weather and institutionalised racism I could take, which is why she left London. And her brother, who she thought was dead, is not dead. He's now her sister. And it's really clever. There's a procedural plot involving a missing person case, but it's also about police corruption, people smuggling, and the echoes of colonialism that are still playing out.
Does it fall into the trap of, you know, here's another Death in Paradise type?
It is the opposite of Death in Paradise. They're all set, you know, they're set in Caribbean islands and feature black British police officers who used to work for the Met Police. But that is absolutely where the similarities end. It's very dark.
It's very, very dark. Andy, if you are a Game of Thrones fans, you will obviously just take up anything that George R.R. Martin has done or has written. And there is something out in cinemas now which is based on one of his short stories. What is it? And is it any good?
No, I think we need to swap segments next week, because this is even worse than Electric State.
Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
And I like that they have, like, George Martin front and center, like, based on the story. So you're assuming Game of Thrones.
It should sell itself.
Yeah, but what they don't tell you is this is a short story he wrote in the 90s. This is pretty much like, you know, oh, this is based on a script by Tarantino that you found when he worked in the video shop in the 80s. Like, it has no resemblance to anything. The most disappointing part for me is I love Dave Bautista, and he has, you know, one of those wrestlers.
He's a former wrestler.
He is, but he actually, unlike The Rock or John Cena, he said, I want to be an actor. He takes acting lessons. He's worked with people like Denis Villeneuve, Sam Mendes. Like, Dune Part 2 was nominated for Best Picture Oscar. And then he's doing this, which the story is a witch travels to the lands looking for a magical power that allows a person to transform into a werewolf. Which is every bit as good as it sounds. And it's directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, who's done all the Resident Evil films and things like Monster Hunter, with his wife Mila Jovovich is in this as well. And it's just one of those films that looks like it was shot on a studio backlot for about 10 pence. Again, I'd be going through the accounts the same way I would with Electric State, because somebody is siphoning money from somewhere here, because it's definitely not on the screen.
Do you think it's just sometimes, you know, there's a genre that's flying off, fantasy epics, everything, and just someone just takes a stab at it and it just goes horribly wrong?
Yeah, I think it's content as opposed to a film. It's like, oh, we've got a wrestler, we've got this, here's really hot at the moment.
Things
like,
that work in other places all get stuffed into one pot together.
Well, let's see, can we go back to a happy take? Henrietta, Abbott Elementary, people might be happy about that. It's back for, season four?
Season four, and there's 22 episodes. They're nice short little episodes as well. Mm. It's a great little, you know, half hour
and
viewing.
And for those who don't know what it is, tell us about it.
It's the sweetest show. It's a mockumentary sitcom about the world's most optimistic second grade teacher at a down-at-heel, predominantly black public school in West Philadelphia. It's created, executive produced, co-written and starring Quinta Brunson as a teacher, Janine Teagues. And generally when somebody is doing all the jobs, I get a bit nervous that it's not going to work.
Of course.
But it's so good. Her mother taught in a really similar school for 40 years, so she clearly knows her stuff. And there's a fantastic ensemble cast. My favourite is the principal, Ava Coleman, who's played by Janelle James. Like, she runs endless sidelines out of her office. She's incredible charisma. The whole show is really, really charming. Definitely worth it. First few episodes of series one are a bit slow, but stick with it.
Your advice. Oh dear, I'm so sorry, Andy. We just gave you a terrible thing this week. Snow White is back in cinemas, and it's had a bit of a difficult birth. Has it sort of justified itself by the time it got there?
I promise you, I'm not normally this miserable. I do actually enjoy films. But this, I would like to see the documentary about the making of this, because from the start, they just, like, everyone seemed to go out of their way to make this as controversial as possible. You had the Rachel Zegler, who's cast as Snow White, came out and said, well, I hate the original film. I think it's very outdated. And, you know, this film isn't that. So immediately anyone who loves the Snow White film is going, well, I'm not going to go see that. And then anyone who, you know, didn't like the film is going, well, it's called Snow White, it's close enough to it, I'm still not going to see it. There was the controversy then around, first of all, they dropped the Seven Dwarfs from the title, so it's just called Snow White. So it was supposed to be...
And then they didn't actually use real people to play the dwarves, wasn't there a
they
bit of a...
did initially, they cast, and then Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones, he spoke out and said, oh, this is a backward story, and this is like, you know, are we, you know, the Seven Dwarfs is putting us out. And then the head of the Little People organization, Martin Kleber, who's in the film, said, well, that's seven roles in a big Hollywood film.
That you've, like, taken away from us.
Yeah, that we're not going to do now. Like, it's, when is a big Hollywood production going to cast, you know, seven people in a film?
Do live action Disney films still make money though? Like, will it make back what was put in?
I think it will, because even something like Mufasa, The Lion King, the prequel to Mufasa and Scarlet, I'm sure everybody was calling out for, still made 600 million despite the fact it got absolutely dreadful reviews. And even things like The Little Mermaid as well, the live action version of that, which you're looking at me like this is the first time you've ever heard of it.
No. What I was actually thinking is, I actually like going to things that have been totally panned. just to help out the bottom line, or just to see, maybe I just revel a little bit. Must be a very bad thing in me that I kind of maybe secretly enjoy.
That was me
enjoy.
With Electric State. I thought, I'm going to be the one person that likes
State
this. I was like, no.
I'm just like, what am I going to see this week? All of Andy's picks. You know, it's really, really interesting, Henrietta. Like, I mean, sometimes when you're doing a series, you just, you don't know, is it going to make it to the next, you know? And a lot of, you know, producers live with that uncertainty, and actors. Season 8 for Below Deck.
I know. And there's 17 episodes in this season, and there's so many spin-offs. I think there must be about 40,000 episodes Below Deck circling the world
about
at any time.
The haves and the have-yachts.
The haves and the have-yachts, exactly. So it's about the staff on a luxury yacht. This season, the yacht is My Sienna, based out of the Caribbean. It was Valor, based out of Thailand last season. And it's about the people working on the yacht, the yachties, and of course they're, you know, hooking up, breaking up, cursing each other out
and
all in front
real?
Of the cameras.
Like, you know, a lot of that kind of reality TV is sort of, you know, it's for the cameras, but is it real?
Some of the cast are definitely, like, the captain is real, Captain Lee. I'm not convinced about all of the people. Some of the, like bosun, people like that, yes, seem to really know their stuff. Mm. Some of the service crew, I'm not entirely convinced that they aren't brought in as cast members.
And of course they spawned the phrase boatmances.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and there's always loads of those. And I think at first I was like, this sounds ridiculous, I'd never like this show, but it's really hypnotic. I think because we've all had at some stage in our lives, like, jobs we don't like or colleagues we don't like. And we see these people doing that, but with the added pressure of sharing living cabins, working, very living together, and the guests can be awful. Yeah. So it's not the captain who's the boss, really. It's the guests, and they can be terrible. Yeah. So it's really enjoyable.
It's very good. Andy, whatever about Stanley Tucci, there's a real Robert De Niro renaissance right now. He's really, really enjoying sort of a kind of a late career, huge success. I did get a chance to see Zero Day, but he's in a new film next Friday, The Alto Kings, and I think it sees him back in a very familiar gangster mode.
Yeah, the De Niro sans. I'm trying to hit you with better than the yacht joke there, which was fantastic.
Yeah. Leave that with me, Andy.
So again, back playing a gangster. He actually plays two roles in this. He plays Frank Costello and Vito Genovese, who were, you know, friends who have go on a collision course and then fall out. So it's kind of interesting to see De Niro playing both roles in that. It's written by Nicholas Pellegrini, who wrote Goodfellas, and directed by Barry Levinson, who done Rain Man, Best Picture winner. And De Niro, like you said, he's on a bit of a comeback. Joker, The Irishman, Zero Day. He looks interested again because his career, he was doing like Bad Grandpa and all these kind of terrible...
All these terrible comedies and stuff, yeah. So just that sort of gives me hope now that he's able to come back at it. Can I ask you both just, obviously, people were very, very saddened by the death of Gene Hackman last month. Andy, you do want to recommend, there's something you're happy to hear
we've
for.
Come across something good now.
Mississippi Burning.
Yeah, Mississippi Burning is on Amazon Prime. It's about two FBI agents who arrive in Mississippi to investigate the disappearance of three civil rights workers. And it is Gene Hackman just burns up the screen in this. He plays, he used to be a former Mississippi sheriff, and he's joined the FBI, and he comes back and he's met with a lot of resistance from the locals. But if there's one scene for me that sums up, he goes back and he's trying to kind of play the good old boys with the racist sheriff and the Klan members in the town. They're not having any of it. And he just turns on a dime and threatens everybody in the room. And he's just, you would, like, he was still an older man at the time, but he is ferocious in the scene. If you were sitting there going, no, I don't want this guy coming after me.
And brilliant that it is out on Prime Video. Finally, Henrietta, will you be watching Dancing with the Stars tonight? And who are you backing? You don't know.
No,
you're not a
I'm behind.
The Stars
I'm
fan.
A bit behind in it, so I don't want any spoilers.
Are you a fan,
episode.
Andy?
I was until Kevin McGahern was robbed of what he should have rightfully won. So I am boycotting this year's show in solidarity.
Well, we'll leave it there. I can re shout out for Reese because he's from my part of the world. That is it. That's all we time for. You can listen back to all the conversations from today's show on the RTE Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts today.